Firstly, Mike, many congratulations on being awarded an honorary doctorate in education from the MMU. It's just fantastic. You're very passionate about promoting reading to young people. What kinds of things have you done to promote reading?
I was a librarian for 15 years and I focused on young people. I brought my ideas about reading being, I believe that reading is the way out for a lot of young people, especially working class kids who never have a voice.
Sure.
And I think that once they get the bug of reading, they learn to communicate better. And ultimately, as a 14-year-old kid, your head's pretty fucked up as it is.
Yeah.
So if you can't communicate, it doesn't help much, does it?
Exactly.
So the more we read, the more we learn to communicate. And also, the smartest kids in class read on their own, didn't they? We all know that. The smartest kids read.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a crusade to get schools and education and parents and to be aware of just how important it is. It isn't just about getting a sticker on a chart. It's about your kids' development, major, major development.
Yeah.
And the more they read, the smarter they are, and the smarter they are, the happier they are, and that's why there's been a bit of a crusade about it. So lots of different things, like I work with 10,000 kids a year in schools, that's why I got a doctorate more than anything else. I do events whereby I do live poetry to young people, I do conferences, I do book awards, ceremonies.
Yeah.
And I still do bits and pieces with libraries when I get the time, because I still think libraries are probably one of the most important institutions in the UK.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what I do with the young people.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks for that, Mike.
You're right.
Can you tell us about your journey as a performance poet? When did you first realise that you loved poetry?
I think I first realised I loved poetry when I started talking and loved the rhythm of language and the feel it gave me and the sound of words in my mouth and saying weird words and being addicted to words and discovering words. This highly influenced by music as well. I was brought up in a house of six kids. I was the second youngest, so I had big brothers and big sisters who were into Tamla Motown, who were into punk, who were into David Bowie. So from a very early age, I was spoon-fed Bowie lyrics. A lot of Tamla Motown stuff and Billy Paul and Marvin Gaye and Dinah Ross Supremes and The Stranglers, and they're all massively influenced by lyrics. The success of these people. So I was reading lyrics off stuff whilst reading my poems from school and stuff. I think one of the first poems that I read that made me realise that poetry talks about the other side as well was Timothy Winters by Charles Causler, which is about a scruffy kid, trampy kid.
All right.
Basically, and I saw a lot of myself in Timothy.
Yeah.
And I always loved the simplicity of poetry. It was laid out, it didn't take ages to read, it looked good on the page. It sounded good, it was moving. I thought the people who were doing it were cool. Most of the stuff we read as children are poems. Most of the stuff we read as we're learning how to speak are poems. Think about Bear Hunt, think about Michael Rosen, think about Tiger and Captain T, think about Owl Babies, think about all those things which are ultimately incredibly poetic.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't a great fan of reading big fat books, to be honest. I
avoided
them like the plague. So I thought a poem was perfect. So I'd read poems. I just found it a lot easier and a lot more fulfilling. And like I say all the time, you can get as much from a haiku as you can from a 500-page novel, I think.
Oh, absolutely. They still make you think, don't they? Even
exactly.
If they're really short poems. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was the beginning more than anything else. And slowly but surely, I'd start writing my own lyrics. Started writing my own words.
There's a bit of a bad press sometimes about poetry, isn't there? You know, that it's inaccessible and snobby, but it's not really like that, is it? It's just
a lot of it is inaccessible. I find the most successful poets.
Yeah, fair enough.
Inaccessible, but also there's a whole gamut of poets who are very accessible, and so I started reading them and started looking at them and started reading more poetry, and I went for the GCSE thing where I did the World War stuff and just kept poetry very close to me, and then started discovering a lot of these artists like Ian Jury.
Yes.
Like David Bowie, like we're spoken word artists. They were talking for a lot of the songs, you know what I mean? A lot of, just take the music away and it's a poem.
Yeah.
And then the old Liverpool thing and the Lennon thing, and it all influenced. The music has always been there in the background as an influence.
Sure.
So very similar with Johnny here. I came across Johnny through music, through the punk scene and things like that.
Yeah.
And punk was brilliant for me because it gave me an opportunity to be the upstart I was already, and justifiably.
Sure.
And a label to tag it to.
Yeah.
Then I started performing things on my own, just in my bedroom, reading things. And then when I first became a librarian, I was qualified, and I set up a lot of homework centres in Manchester for really rough kids. Immigrants in a lot of cases, Asian, Irish, Jamaican, African. And I get up looking at poetry. I use poetry as the fulcrum for everything. So what I'd do is I'd look at one they were studying, then I'd read them one of mine, but not tell them it was mine.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they'd always prefer mine. So slowly but surely, I gained the confidence to be able to start reading that out. So I started actually reading stuff out in about 94.
Right. Yeah.
Started winning slams pretty quickly. Went over to America, competed in some slams in America, got a bit of a reputation in New York for performance, performed at New Recon Poets Cafe. And slowly but surely, my confidence grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And
sure.
Started performing more over here, started being asked to do my own shows, and then started publishing. And
yeah, so fantastic.
Stopped being a librarian and decided to make it a job. And it has been now for about 15 years.
Did you perform with New Order and Iggy Pop and Patti Smith?
I did, That was the St. Anthony thing. I wrote a poem for Tony Wilson. Do you know Tony Wilson?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a poem for Tony Wilson when he died, and I didn't realise it would take on such momentum. A composer called Joe Dedel, classical composer called Joe Dedel, heard it, loved it, wanted to put some music to it, New Order heard it, loved it.
That's amazing.
He invited me around to his house and said, listen, we've got to New York to do a gig for Philip Glass.
Yes,
Would you like to come with us and do this? And I said, yeah. And he goes, we've got a backing singer, Iggy Pop.
So amazing.
So I worked with Iggy Pop and New Order, and New Order became mates pretty quickly, you know what I mean? Heroes to mates. That's the thing about star quality I've found. Real stars stop being stars after 10 minutes and start to become your mates, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just human, aren't they?
I think they're famous all the time. But
exactly, we don't think of them as human beings, really, do we? Do you put them on such a pedestal?
So from that, I met Philip, and Philip loved what I did. He made me round, and I've been mates with Philip ever since. I've done gigs with Philip. I've stayed with Philip when I'm over in New York with him and his family. Lovely man. I'm supposed to be there next week, actually, to do a festival with him.
Oh, right.
In Carmel.
Yeah.
But the forest fires burned down so many spots over there, it's deserted.
Right, blimey.
So I'm not over there. So yeah, I did the Carnegie Hall stuff with Patti Smith and the National. And,
yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Cool.
What memories.
I sit back and think about it sometimes and I just think, how the fuck did that happen?
Wow.
But,
yeah.
I still work with Philip and he still champions what I do and loves what I do. So I just feel very honoured and very lucky.
Wow, what a lifestyle. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I like Morrissey and the Smiths.
Yep.
What's your favourite Morrissey lyric? One of mine is about the double-decker bus. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, well, I was mates with Morrissey as a kid.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with all the Smiths. I worked with Johnny at Stolen from Ivers on a Saturday job.
I worked with
Mike Joyce at St. Kent's Irish Club, collecting pots. So I knew Mike really well. I still know Mike really well. I still speak to Mike on a regular basis, do stuff with him. And I worked with Morrissey's dad in a hospital, and one day he turned around to me and said, will you have a word with my fella? He's just like you. He sits in his room with poems all the time. So never forget the day Morrissey came in for me to have a word with him.
Goodness me.
Keep in mind I'm 5 years younger than him as well, so I'm 17 to 22.
Yeah.
There's a big
difference.
just at the beginning of the Smiths as well. So, yeah, I love Smith lyrics. It was me wedding dance. There is a light that never goes out.
Oh, yeah.
Also did a programme for Radio 4 called Soul Music about that actual tune. Check it out. I think it's still online. Soul Music.
Great. Thanks for that. Yeah.
They take a track every week and they just look closely at this track and the effect of this track on people, and there's like that never goes out. It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, classic.
I love the lyrics to Girlfriend in the Corner as well. I think absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I can't fail Morrissey with his lyrics. I love the fact that sometimes they're actually pretty shit and they don't work, but I actually like that because he doesn't care. He's not looking for the perfect rhyme.
Exactly. It's not pretentious, is it, or anything? No. It's just normal.
So, yeah, I love the Smedlers. They're good. They're really good. I saw Morrissey in New York as well a couple of years ago.
Oh, right.
Which was great because I remember the Cortinas, another Manchester outfit. But yeah, the music's still important with me, and that's why I still do a lot with musicians, and I still do a lot with bands. I've been up to Edinburgh with a musical thing I put to poetry, and I've got my own quartet who I work with on a regular basis. I'm doing that. Kerith Matthews' Good Life Festival this week.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So we're doing that on the four Max Richter, I think it is. Modern classical composer.
Wow.
So yes, so the music's still really important to me. And ultimately, that's the direction in which I'm going, making music and doing poetry together side by side. I like it that way.
Sure. What's the first thing you would change about the world as it is now?
I'd make everyone vegetarian.
Really?
Yeah, I'd make everyone vegetarian, even though I have a bit of fish every now and again.
Yeah.
That's only food doctor's orders more than anything.
Sure.
I would have changed the world. God, light questions. I'd make the world socialist. Basically, I'd ban capitalism.
Right.
I'd
go back to bartering.
I barter poems.
Yes.
No, I do. I'm serious.
Really?
I barter poems. Yeah. I've had tradesmen in my house, plumbers and stuff like that. And I said, listen, I'm a poet. Do you want a trade or anything? Do you want to? I'm
it's
one
worth
person
a try.
Taking it on. Yeah. So no, I wouldn't. I hate money. It's a dirty thing.
It is.
It brings a nastiness out in us.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'd turn the word socialist, I think.
Oh, interesting. You've been working with John Cooper Clarke, who's coming to our hometown of Nantwich soon, and with your good self, which we all can't wait for. Can you tell us like a funny moment that you've had with him? Because you've done like over 500 gigs with him, have you? Or
yeah, 6 years now.
6 years, wow.
Yeah. Toured America as well. Funny bits, good bits. When we arrived in New York, Noel Gallagher coming out to greet us. That was good. That was fun. Funny bits are daily. Funny bits are daily. Honestly,
yeah.
They really are. They happen on a daily basis.
Yeah, so many too. Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. Almost. Oh, so you have a great working relationship with him.
He's my mate.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
He champions me. Says lots of nice things on radio stations about me.
Oh.
He's had me with him for 6 years now, so he must like me in some kind of way.
Sure.
Took me to America with him, did America. I love the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With the city, not working with him in the morning won't bother me. I love the guy. You know what I mean? I've spent an awful lot of time with them. I've shared an awful lot of personal and private things with each other.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's things about Johnny that I know that no one knows.
Yeah.
There's things about me that Johnny knows that no one knows. You know, he's a very, very bright man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very intelligent man. He's very switched on. He's very aware. He's very good with young people. He understands young people really well. His daughter's only 22. He's still in touch with young people and what trends are. He's a great reader.
Yeah. You read a lot as well, Mike, do you?
Say that again, sorry.
You read a lot as well yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, only because I haven't got many friends.
Billy no mates.
No, it's a treat for me, reading.
Sure.
It's a treat.
It's having the time, though, is it, I suppose, isn't it? But it is.
You've got to make the time.
You've got to make the time, exactly.
You've got to make the time to read.
I've got a question from Kev Milsom. He's one of the inky elves at Ink Pantry Towers. He says, the passion for your native Manchester shines through in your poetry. Could you describe how you have sought to inspire young Manc poets with your words, and also share some thoughts about the Manchester creative scene and how you would like to see it expand and develop in the future?
Yeah, it comes through in my poems, a lot of a sense of deep northern pride.
Sure.
And it's not just Manchester, I love northern cities. I'm in Liverpool now, I'm dropping my daughter at university. I'm driving down and getting excited because of the times I've spent here myself as a kid. I love northern cities, compare Manx to Scousers all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like the Manc lads are better looking. The poetry scene in Manchester is bustling. We've got a brilliant, brilliant organisation called Young Identity. which runs out of contact, which picks up all the young poets and gives them a voice, basically. We've got Bad Language that goes on, which is a great night run by a kid called Fats Rowland. Common Word are still in Manchester doing loads. Peter Callow working really, really hard to keep the importance of the written word going in poetry. And I just try and give opportunities as much as possible to young people to work with me and to do gigs with me. And we've got a thing on for Manchester Food and Drink Festival the night before National Poetry Day this year. We've got a young poet on there and a couple of other poets.
Yeah.
I just look for opportunities to do that more than anything else, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's thriving then, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, another thing is, I'm rarely here, though.
Yeah.
I'm rarely here with work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most of my work is away from it, away from Manchester, which is a good thing because you can become too much part of the scene, I think.
And it's inspiring, I suppose, to be away, isn't it? And you get to see different parts of life and people and... Yeah,
and I'm a fellow at University of Westminster, so I'm down there a lot as well, doing bits in London.
Brilliant.
Playing around with poems and stuff.
Yeah. A question from Shannon Milsom. She'd like to ask, who was your childhood heroes and what kind of inspired you from a young age? Oh, you were talking about the music scene and, you know, Bowie.
Yeah, childhood heroes. Well, football heroes. I love football. I skipped myself on football. But reading stuff, started off with Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl was my hero. I loved reading. The 100 years.
Yeah.
Today, innit?
It is today, yeah.
Years ago today, yeah. Brilliant. Roald Dahl was a massive influence.
He's really quirky, isn't he? And
yeah.
Yeah.
Milligan, I loved Milligan, he was jokey, he was funny, my mum brought me to see him really young, and I got into the Spike Milligan really early, and had a big influence, because a lot of this stuff's about mental health, innit, you know what I mean, a lot of this stuff's about the
absolutely,
the nature of man, so who else, Charles Causley, some of the classic poets, then the war poets, I love the war poets, all of them, and it's great last year because the BBC did a big series on them, didn't they?
He did, yeah.
So I like all the war poets and music, the lyrical music of the Beatles and the Smiths and punk and the Sex Pistols and the Buzzcocks and Echo and the Bunnymen and all these bands, and I was reading all sorts of stuff at the time, Gerald Jarrell, and just enjoying it more than anything else.
Sure. And the last question, what's next for you? What plans have you got?
So
many.
I did a lot of work with the quartet.
Yeah.
So I hope to have some poems over classical music. I've just worked with a couple of mates to create a piece called Men's Morning, which was featured on Radio 4 last year. Did that up in Edinburgh, which went down really well, so I'm looking at ideas to do things with that. And I'm looking at work with the Stroke Association. I had a stroke about a year ago.
Oh, dear.
And I was working with the Stroke Association at the time.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough. But they've got a choir. And I want to see how choir and spoken word works. So I'm interested in doing that at the moment.
Oh, do you know what?
I play. That's what I do. I play around.
Yeah.
And see what comes out of it. And if something good comes out of it, I like it. If something good doesn't, if something bad comes out, well, nothing bad ever comes out of playing around, does it?
Exactly. You've got to experiment and try different things, haven't you? You know, to be creative, I guess.
You want a poem, don't you?
Please, that'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Right, so I'll give you a nice short one. So my son lives in New Zealand. He moved over to New Zealand about 18 months ago.
Oh, right.
And he's only 23, 24. And it's great because you haven't got all the brain ache of a wayward son hanging around all the time. But sometimes you really miss him. So this is called I Truly Miss My Son Today. I truly miss my son today. I need to hear his name spoken aloud. I scream it till I'm raucous when I'm at home alone, and I sing whisper it when I'm stood in a crowd. We've not fallen out, we're just miles apart. Makes me feel lost, lonely and astray, and my heart slow bleeds as my soul departs, because I truly miss my son today. I'm gonna hold that boy in these two loving arms. I'm gonna tell that boy just how his father feels, how I'd walk through Europe and Asia in bare feet and swim naked through those South China seas for one moment of his beauty, for one instance of his grace, for one second of his cheeky northern charm. And I'll tell that boy things I've never told him before, and I'll hold that boy in these two loving arms. That's it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Thank
so
you.
So what do you guys do? Have you got a web page and do you do stuff on web? Or do you do a publication or how does it work?
Yeah, well, what happened was some fellow students, we were all doing a creative writing course with the Open University, and we thought,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, and we thought, how can we promote our work? So we had like Berenice Smith, she was like, she's been a graphic designer and still is. And then we had someone else, Alison, she's like a whiz on the internet. So we set up our own publishing company, and we've
brilliant.
Got, yeah, we've got like two anthologies out there with students' work. And what we do, we like promote new writers.
That's great.
Yeah, we just put like poems that people send in on the website.
He's coming down on the night in Nantwich, some of you down there?
Yes, definitely. There's loads of us going. There's quite a good poet scene really going on in Nantwich. We're all going to enter the slam on the Sunday at the railway, so that should be interesting. So, nerve-wracking. But it's really good. Thanks ever so much for doing this.
No, you're very welcome.
It's absolutely fantastic privilege. It really is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Come over and say hello on the night.
Definitely. Can't wait for you both to come down. It's going to be fantastic. So,
thanks a lot, Deborah.
Yeah, thanks ever so much, Mike. Brilliant. You're a legend.
Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye now, mate.
Bye.
Bye.